Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
Welcome, everybody, to another exciting edition of Finding True Wealth. My name is Nick Hopwood, and I'm the president of Peak Wealth Management in Plymouth, Michigan. We believe by educating and providing guidance, we can help our clients make great financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their own definition of true wealth. And over the past few months, I've been making points about finding true wealth and how it sometimes doesn't have anything to do with money at all. And whether that means you subscribe to the five tenets of Taekwondo or living a healthy lifestyle to help you be your best, or perhaps doing some blueprinting work and imagining how your eulogy might read. Many people agree and believe in these principles, but also many people believe that it all starts with feeling secure financially. So let's talk about being secure financially for a few minutes. Chances are that your parents or grandparents, their financial picture looked a little bit different than yours does today. Traditionally, that generation, they had a middle-class job with good pay and good benefits. I should say great benefits. They had a nice pension and free health care. And upon retirement, they could collect Social Security and their pension, and they were pretty much all set, especially if they were debt-free and had paid off their mortgage prior to retiring. Then you could actually have more discretionary income than when you were working. This is the type of security which allows people to retire to the beach. And I think that's what a lot of people traditionally have thought of retirement as. You work, 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 and then you just stop, and now you can retire to the beach. Today's retirees, they probably don't think of it as the beach. And we've found that the definition of retirement's been changing over time. But more about that later. Today's generation, I think, is struggling. And the pensions just don't exist. And healthcare is really out of control. I mean, if you get your renewal for health insurance and the increase is less than 20%, you think of it like a win. I mean, it's really sad. So most Americans are retiring with big mortgages as well. So instead of pensions, they have a 401k. That doesn't come with any guarantees. And they most likely didn't put enough in. And they most likely haven't earned enough. And, you know, the market hasn't been exactly great over the last 15 years or so. This means that people need to think about working longer, living on less in retirement, or dying sooner before their money runs out. It's straight math, and it is sad. And none of these options are good ones to have. You know, you don't want to pick on when you're going to die sooner because your money is running out. So what exactly can we do? With Peak Income 360, which talks about passive income from everywhere, we try to counsel people to think in terms of passive income streams. And that starts with things like Social Security, your pension, maybe an annuity income, your 401k, real estate, etc. So these are all potential unique income streams, and they all have low correlations to each other. Today, specifically, I want to talk about real estate because I believe real estate is a type of asset class which 90% of people can use to their advantage. And I believe low to mid-level houses will always be in demand for rent. You know, think about an apartment or a small single-family home for $800 a month or $1,000 a month. I think there's always going to be people that need those kind of places to live. And therefore, it should be pretty easy to find quality tenants. So before you flip the channel because you don't like real estate or maybe you've had a bad experience, first, let me share my personal disaster story and how we've had a meaningful turnaround. So back in 2005, 2006, we bought 7 rental real estate units. And back then, we were buying at the market top right before the 2008 meltdown. And we were letting people in that can't pay. We were giving incentives to people to move in for the first month, like we'd say, you know, the rent's 800, but for the first month it's only 400. And foolishly, we thought we were, you know, getting tenants quickly, but really what we were doing is allowing people in the house that simply can't pay. And some of those people ended up being criminals and drug dealers, and I have some really funny stories if you want to hear them, but I'll save you from those today. I mean, I was in court a couple times a year, sometimes multiple times with the same people for eviction. And I would also make the mistake of not evicting people quick enough. So to make things even worse, you know, in 2009, 2010, these houses were worth 50% of what we paid. In one case, we paid $150,000 for a duplex, and we were trying to refinance it a few years later in 2010, and the appraisal came in for $45,000. I mean, this place was getting $1,500 a month in rent, and this appraiser thought it was only worth $45,000. It's just simply ridiculous. So we had to deal with that. And now the good news is the market's come back. Real estate is, you know, it's probably back where we paid back in 05, 06. The other big regret or mistake that we made was not buying on the dip in 09, 10, 11. The real estate opportunities were amazing. You know, you could buy houses for half price, and we did not do that. So today we still have those 7 units, plus a commercial property where my firm, Peak Wealth Management, is located. So we have the benefit of owning the building that we rent from. And I think this commercial property, where I'm cutting this track right now, actually, it's the gem of the entire real estate portfolio. So at the worst, I hated real estate. I was having a very bad taste in my mouth. I couldn't stand it, but we held on, and now I absolutely love them. I mean, I love our real estate rentals. I can't say it enough. I think of them as our pension. You know, I don't work for GM or Ford with a great big pension. This is the pension. So let's talk about what we've done to be, you know, starting out miserable, going to court, losing all the value, and now really having this love affair with the properties. So despite the values going down, I knew that the reason for the investment was because of the income. I knew this would be the pension replacement and it would generate income in the future. And I saw that the rent was holding steady. So think of a stock, even if the price goes down by half, it does not mean that the dividend is going to go down. Sometimes that happens, but not always. And if the dividend is the income that you need, and you can wait for the price to come back, it takes the sting out. Of course, it helps that I don't receive a monthly statement from my brokerage firm showing my investment going down every month like you might if it was a stock. So, you know, you don't have to be reminded of that every month, but you do have Zillow, and that will tell you. If you sign up for emails from Zillow, they will tell you every month the value is going down. So if you have that income and you think of it as a pension, and this income is not going down, and it is a low correlation to other investments that you might have, such as your investment portfolio from your brokerage firm, you know, this idea of a pension and knowing that the income is steady convinced us not to tuck our tail and run. And the next thing that we did was to really focus on getting quality tenants. People who would take care of the property, pay their rent on time, and actually pay more rent. So my solution was to invest in the kitchens and the baths. When a tenant would move out, we would start putting in granite countertops, new cabinets, tile floors, some nice amenities like that. And we found that about a $5,000 investment would yield an increase in rent of about $200 a month. So it's about a 2-year payback, which I think is a pretty good investment, especially if you can keep that rent higher for an extended period of time. I also found that when we would advertise with a higher rent price, we would attract people with more stable jobs, higher paying jobs, and this led to no late payments, no court dates, and better care being taken to each of the properties. Now when someone moves out, I actually get excited because we're going to invest $5,000 and make it nice and raise the rent. So how does the math work? First, you need to be able to get rent of about 0.8% per month of the purchase price. What this means is that if you can find a house for $100,000, you need to be able to rent it out for $800 a month. It's tough because these are not super easy to find, but they're out there. And as an investor, you can come in with 20% down and get a 15-year mortgage, and the tenant will pay your house off for you. Okay, this is the key. This is the flashing red light. The tenant will pay the house off for you. And in the 15th year, the mortgage is done. In the 16th year, now that $800 a month, well, you have to pay taxes and insurance, but and maintenance, that $800 a month, that's your pension, okay? Like I said before, this generation does not have pensions. We need to account for that. So the key here is that the tenant is paying off the mortgage for you and the ability to use leverage. So this $100,000 house, all you need is $20,000 down. And if you have strong cash flow and the ability to save $20,000 a year, it's not out of the question that you could buy a house every year. It just takes a few to be able to generate a strong pension like your grandfather once had. So imagine for a moment that you're 40 years old and you can save $10,000 a year as part of your down payment. That means you could buy a house every other year until age 50. That's a total of 6 houses. And by the time you're age 65, all of them would be paid off. And if you're just renting them out for $800 a month, and after taxes and insurance and maintenance, maybe you're getting $600 a month, and you have 6 houses, that's $3,600 a month in today's dollars. Profit, but pre-tax. That's a pretty good pension, in my experience. Now, as we were getting started back in 2005, I read the book, The Millionaire Real Estate Investor. And last month, I actually reread that book. Some of the figures were a little bit dated, but I found myself chuckling because there's a reference to things like real estate never going down and a reasonable appreciation rate of 5% is fair. Obviously, I disagree strongly with those statements. I think that real estate certainly can go down, and I don't bank on any appreciation. So this any appreciation that we might get for the properties is gravy as far as I'm concerned. I think of it as a long-term income rental. One of the reasons why I don't think about appreciation might be because I live in Southeast Michigan, but I also think that it's because I'm focused on that future income of a pension. I don't care what the house is worth today. I only care what my income is going to be in the future. So this book, The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, is written by Keller. He's the guy from Keller Williams. I think that he does know a thing or two about real estate. And the whole theme of the book, just to paraphrase here, Cliff Notes version, they talk about buying a million, which means use leverage and buy $1 million worth of real estate. And with leverage, that would cost around $200,000. And the next step in the book is to own $1 million worth of real estate, which basically means that $1 million that you bought, you pay it off and you actually own the real estate. You pay it off again using other people's money. And the final step is to collect $1 million, which is where you have an income of $1 million a year from your properties. The first two steps, they're pretty reasonable to me for most people. And I believe that most people with some coaching could get there. But the collect $1 million, the step number 3, that's a whole new level. It's probably not applicable to most people. But I do highly recommend the book, and it's called The Millionaire Real Estate Investor. So I think that's about it. In summary, the next generation needs to diversify their income streams from just Social Security and their 401k. We need an income stream that is easy to get into, and one that has low correlation to our big 401k investment. And I propose or suggest that real estate could be a possible solution for this problem. I'm an advocate of long-term real estate rentals, and I think of this as a pension replacement. It's one leg of our peak income 360 stool, if you will, a great way to generate passive income. You can learn more about what we do at peakwm.com, or you can search for us on Facebook, Peak Wealth Management. And finally, tying this topic into finding true wealth, owning a lot of real estate can make you rich or wealthy. But may I suggest this type of unearned income can be used to finance your life mission without having to work. And this puts you on a path towards true wealth. The only thing you have to think about is, what is your life mission? So if you like what you hear today, let's make it official and subscribe. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your listening. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Peak Financial Minute with Nick Hopwood. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes and the Android Marketplace or by visiting www.peakwm.com. Peak Wealth Management is your premier wealth management partner. Plan, protect, peak. Securities offered through Regulus Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Peak Wealth Management, LLC, a state of Michigan registered investment advisor. Peak Wealth Management, LLC is independent of Regulus Advisors.